Here we go. Okay, so
welcome
to IP podcast, Infamous Performance Podcast. We're starting this through lockdown. As many of you are in lockdown, me and Ben have got together bouncing our ideas when we always talk to each other. So we thought, why not better than to share some of our information over podcasts of just realistically about training, lifestyles, training, how to make it all work, what doesn't work, make you understand a little bit more about your bodies, stuff like that, stuff we've learned along the way. You know, I've been training a long time. Ben's been training quite a while now.
Not
as long as me.
Nowhere near as long.
I'm an old man, but you know, we've got a lot of stuff that we work on with our members in the gym, friends, and stuff that works, hasn't worked. Everyone's different, but just to give you an insight on how to build through a better lifestyle, eh?
Pretty much.
Get what you want, if it's a good body, bit of strength, or whatever. So,
first episode is just, a bit about us, getting to know us.
Little introduction, how we met.
Yeah, our journey and... where we kind of want to take this podcast. So, I think, you started, you'll start. Who are you? Who are you, Tris? Who is Tris?
Tristan is an arsehole.
Fucking too, right?
Yeah, grumpy old man, but very passionate about what I do. I've been doing, so let's get me into when I first started training. Very unathletic as a kid. I was never that kid picked for the teams. I was always picked last. Let me just get the violin out for you all.
And it's like a song story podcast.
It took me a little while to get into it, and it came down to a little bit of bullying, you know, being called fat as a kid, and then made me realise to my mum one day, I said, "Mum, take me to a boxing club because that's the only sport I like." And that's it. Changed my life from then.
Beating people.
That was the start. So I was probably about, I'd say, 13, 14, trained at Finchley Boxing Club. Great people, great atmosphere, great friends. And that's what got me on the track of fitness. Started to lose that puppy fat and then built through that into bodybuilding. Obviously, I was always, who isn't a fan of Arnold growing up? He was like my idol. So it was like a real build up to build muscle. Once I got into that gym, that was it. You weren't getting me out of a weights gym. I was stuck in there forever.
Fighting done.
Even to this day, I love my weights. And then moved from there. I've been a professional cage fighter, done many different aspects of training, and then dropped into CrossFit. Obviously loved that. And that's where I met you, when you was a young man in here. God, when was that? When I started coaching here, I think beginning of 2015.
That's
a long time.
Seven years now. But you're the transition wasn't as smooth.
That's what I mean. That's
everything in between.
That's what this podcast's about. So I know as soon as people hear the word CrossFit, a lot of people in the bodybuilding industry are like, fucking that's shit, fake pull ups, all this, and I'll be like, yeah, you can say that. I can agree with some of it. But I've learned a lot. I've always liked to balance weightlifting and fitness. You know, I've done bodybuilding on its own, got to a big point, but I missed my fitness, I missed my running. That goes back to all my boxing and stuff like that. I've always liked the blend of the two. So as soon as I remember when I found CrossFit, I remember when I was working in my old gym, The Works, just watching a bit of YouTube.
More to come on The Works later.
Yeah, more to come on that. And then just finding the 2011 CrossFit Games on YouTube and watching Rich Fonin and people like Neil Maddox, Jason Kleeper. And I looked at their physiques and I was like, oh, wow, these guys are very athletic, look like bodybuilders.
Look like you, but just
they
move.
Are fit. And I thought, that's it, I'm going to the Games. Book me in.
like we all did at one point.
I look like them, I'm going to do it. Yeah, big shock to the system. Obviously, back then, over here, we didn't have as much knowledge on CrossFit, or shall I say, great coaches to put you in the right direction. So I was left to my own devices, which is why we're doing these podcasts. I'm going to talk about my ups and my many, many downs over the course of getting into CrossFit, over bodybuilding, over any sport that you choose to do at like a high intensity. It can have its bad outcomes if you don't know how to pick up on your body, and
the skills are transferable, whichever sport you want to and doing, participating, really.
Yeah, and doing too much. And that's really how I got into it. I've never left it. I've loved it. It's not only that I found with CrossFit, it's given me an education beyond I ever thought I would have.
It's beyond training. Yeah. You start to
realize. I've never been the school student, you know. I was a rough child coming up. I didn't like being in school. So keeping my mind interested into something that I can really diverge and get into, I have to enjoy it. And if I don't enjoy it, then I won't learn it. But this has given me such an outcome on the body. So now, you know, in my box where I am, I've become more of the mobility coach and into the gymnastic side of it, which I've found another passion for, but that's to come later on down the line. And helping people out along that way to not get into the sticky points that I've done. And I think that's the important part. You know, I've been
20 years now, so there's so many lessons
over 20
learned.
Years in the training game. Like I say, I've done many, many good things and many, many, many bad things.
Still doing those bad things.
Still doing
now.
Those bad things.
See them weekly.
Yeah, so it's easy to make yourself ill and blame something, but you've got to weigh up life and weigh up through the options of, you know, jobs, kids, getting older. You don't want to face it, but getting older, the body doesn't want to work as much as it used to, and you've got to respect that and understand that. And but if you keep trying to push to the red line thinking that's going to give you the almighty, you're going to get a big slap on the back. So that was my introduction to CrossFit and why I still do
that,
it.
You got that big slap on the back from killing yourself.
I've had kicks in the back, let alone slaps.
So that's to come. We'll delve into time.
What pushed you? Where did you find it? How did you find CrossFit?
Oh, shit. Training. Training has been the kind of pinnacle of everything I've done. I think we actually kind of had a bit of a similar upbringing, like chubbier kid, didn't really at school get on with people. No, I didn't really fit in certain aspects. So just fell into training as a way of just enjoyment and trying to look a bit better for performance. I always said, oh yeah, I play rugby, I want to get better for rugby. But then secretly it's probably other reasons.
Yeah, and that's it. I love that. It's like everyone's got their own different introduction, haven't they?
Yeah, so. And then strength training. Just got bored of the same strength training, I think. You went to the Works, which was a completely different gym to, I just went to the general leisure center. So there wasn't really any formal people there doing bodybuilding or anything, like any real hard strength training, just kind of dissing all the leisure centers out there. And then my friend showed me CrossFit and he was like, check out these people. And it was the same thing. It was Rich Froning at the games. And he was like, this dude looks phenomenal. He moves well.
It's a great selling point, isn't it? To some people.
You look at Rich and that's kind of the end of your career of trying to do any other sports. And then he actually found this place and he was meant to come down with me and never did. And I think I did the my first class with Stacey and...
Yeah.
And then the first class after that was with you.
With me.
Walking into some fucking scary motherfucker telling me what to do.
Yeah. But I remember with you back then... Your ankles, was it your ankle mobility?
Yeah, I ruined my ankle recently.
Your ankle.
You even remember that now?
I remember that because you're so young. I was thinking, how's this kid got a fucked up ankle at such a young age, you know? That's the thing. Knowing, and that's the thing I still love to do now, is identifying now. How can I start to identify how the body moves, things that aren't efficiently moving. Mm-hmm. And that's come from the knowledge of learning CrossFit, you know, and just diverging more.
That comes from your own, like, learnings from where you've been. Because as you said, you started CrossFit back in a bodybuilding gym. So you were probably doing,
when I got into CrossFit, it's like, say, late 2011. But I was still doing a lot of bodybuilding training. And then 2012, I think around springtime, I thought, right, let me just commit to this. But what I started to do was just stupid.
So we'll get on to the stupid stuff.
We'll
later.
Move on to that. On
but
other
from
days.
the stupid stuff, where's your training now? That's kind of you started at school. You went boxing, MMA, CrossFit, and where do you sit now?
Yeah, so a lot of my training, it's been a lot of impact, a lot of hard training. So from the boxing, going into the bodybuilding, coming back into fighting for 5-6 years, then back into bodybuilding to compete. You know, I've put my body through the grind. I've done hard training sessions where I've been sick. You've been there, you know. I'll never forget the days.
You don't want to do them anymore.
Yeah, listen, I remember when I used to train with a professional bodybuilder, Eddie Abu.
Oh, you've told me this is a great story.
I thought I had legs until that man showed me what a leg training session was about. And I shit you not, for about a year, every time we'd done legs, I would be in the toilet or sitting out the front of the gym.
Just scared.
And he would come back and go, come finish your sets. Come and finish your sets. What are you doing? And it was just this simple one thing he wanted me to do on the leg press. It was just the way he wanted me to adjust my feet, and I just couldn't get it, but it used to just fucking put me through the grinder, and I would feel fucked. And I'd be wanting to jump off, and he'd be fucking making me pump more reps out. But hey, big respect to him. I give everything to him for my legs. And that, and it taught me that digging in sort of sensation, where to really go that extra mile. Mm. And with bodybuilders, it really is the same. It's like, if you don't do legs properly, you're not training hard enough, because that is the one that is, and that's why guys don't do it, because it's fucking hard work.
But I think you found over the years, right, that's kind of not sustainable in your life, there's so many different approaches now.
Like, you know how you look at bodybuilders now, like, you know, there's times to do that, and there's times just to work your working sets, progressive overload, and build through it. Like I say, it's all a learning experience. What works for you may not work for them or them. You know, it's, you have to start, once you're in training, you have to really start understanding yourself and learn about it. Don't just turn up and, like, if you have got a PT, or if you are going to just a, you know, you're at CrossFit and turning up for class, don't just walk in and not turn on and understand what you're doing and think, oh, if I'm just sweating and I feel fucked, that's giving me what I want. Because that could not be, again, we could go back to the lifestyles, what's going on in your life. Have you got 4 kids demanding? Have you got a heavy job? Have you got, all these things play into that.
I think the training as well, that you've, like, the progression you've gone through training, like, you, as you said, like, a little bit of a larger kid, and similar to me, is I kind of realized that we probably had the same entry into fitness, is started super slow, and you've just ramped up through the years.
And then
that's the way to do it. Like, if you try and jump in at that straight up bodybuilding killer leg sessions,
you're never going to come back, are you? You're going to be out the door, you're going to be gone. But then, and then this is the good difference from us now. So where we come back to that question, how is my training now? 41 years old, it's a hell of a lot different to when I was 21 year old. I've got 3 kids, 1 teenager, 1 toddler, 1 to come. It's like, what do I want out of my life now? Do I want to compete? I'd love to. The heart is still there of my competition days. I'd love to fight now, but I know it's not a right thing to do. I'd love to do another bodybuilding show. I'd love to compete in a master division of CrossFit. But does my lifestyle work for that? Not a lot of the time. So at the moment, I'm thinking, I just want to be in longevity. I want to be in this game for a long time. So when I get to 50, I'm going to look back at, right, how was I at 20? How was I at 30? How am I now at 40? Do I want this at 50? Damn right. Do I want that at 60? Yes. And so on and so on and so on. I want to be in this game forever. I never want to stop training. It's my life. It's, you know, people say, how do you do it? I say, I don't do it. I just get up and go. It's sewn in. Mm. If I don't do it, then I feel like I've got something missing in my life.
I think that's through the years of doing it, right? But then at the same time, I don't think you're never going to lose that kind of want to push yourself more, especially from doing it for so long, but then the field you've been in. But I think that's kind of probably quite intrinsic to everyone, like, just wanting to become better and better and better and always push harder, because that is the fun stuff when it comes down to
it.
Of
course it is.
The stuff where we're doing the exact same thing the next week with a little bit of change is not the sexy stuff, but we know as we are now, it's,
you know,
you want 20 years of progression.
It's good to change up stuff, but not too frequently. I think you need to follow through with a nice solid program to see the ultimate gains out of that point.
Something that's fit to you. We've messed about so much with
oh yeah
where much. We are like We probably will trash CrossFit quite a lot on this podcast, but it's the
start. And it needs to be, because there are loopholes in it, and that's what we're trying to say. I love it. I still coach it. I still in the lifestyle. But where I see people going, CrossFit's bad for you, I could go, well, yeah, I can agree with you. It's all depending where you're getting teached. That's the big part. So you could turn into somewhere where they're going, right, 3, 2, 1, just fucking go, 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 go. That's not the, you know, once you can direct people and identify someone who's struggling and pull them back and scale them and get them to just understand.
Support them in the ways they
need. Yeah, and have people skills. Like, you know, I could be a little bit dominant with this person and they might like that, but I've got to be a little bit more placid with this person because they want, you know, and identifying that as well, what comes along, you know, we've been with people in the gym and different characters.
That's the art of coaching, right? And I think that's like
coaching.
Yeah, we I know we've had this conversation so much, but that's why we're so passionate about what we do.
I love it.
We won't always get it right in that sense. No, but if someone's we're just trying to get people better daily.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes it comes across the right way, sometimes not, but it's all a learning process for us in the coaching.
Coaching never ends.
No, and that's the great thing about
coaching. Coaching never ends. It's like, you know, you can always something to better. There's always something changing. There's always something different. We still don't know the full in and outs of the human body and the mind. You know, we're knowing that this works, that works, that doesn't work. You know, it's always changing. But as long as you're up there, you know, always in it and trying to look for new protocols and understand it, then you're going to be a good coach. And the thing is, as long as you can make, I think the big thing is make it safe for the people, make sure they're doing things that aren't going to risk them, then they're going to be onto a winner, you know. And then later on down the line, depending on what field they want to do, if they want to lose weight, they want to get bigger, it all varies. And again, that's when you're going to see, we're going to be talking a lot about lifestyle. Lifestyle is so important to the training issue. So, you know, sleeping, eating right, I think they're probably the hardest things to get.
Oh, especially in this, like, and this is stuff, this is why we wanted to start the podcast, is to talk about these aspects that maybe don't get shouted about enough, or if they do, is finding a way that connects with people rather than just being like, sleep more. Because in this day and age, this society and system,
so many distractions.
Oh, well, yeah, they don't. We like, it's kind of, it was praised for such a long time. Like, you go to bed at 2 a.m., you wake up at 4 a.m., you get a head start on the day, and you work late into the evening. That was praised. And I think it's the narrative of that is slowly changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we're just here to, from our own experiences and stuff that we've read and people we've spoken to and kind of where we are now, to give across information that connects with people that will get them into a better life, where you can just create fulfillment in everything you do.
Yeah.
Rather than, just digging yourself into a hole constantly.
Constantly thinking that's going to give you your goals and your PRs. When you're in your young 20s, it might, because you're very durable. But when you get older and, you know, things do slow down, whether you like it or not, you have to respect that. And for me, the biggest saying to a master athlete is less is more. And that's something I definitely had to put into my protocol to do. Stop trying to do 7 days a week. Slow it down. Do a little
bit
less.
Still struggling with that.
Yeah.
Some days.
But I still battle my own demons, because I can easily slip back into my old 20-year-old mind where I didn't have any aches and pains. I could go all day. I could train three hours off 2 hours sleep and you'd be bulletproof. But as you get older, things like that do seem to come out in the open, and understanding it
definitely don't feel like that.
Yeah, definitely.
You're like 20 years from my fucking elder and I'm not feeling
that's what I mean. So it's good to have that older, which we need. I think masters need to speak up more. There's not enough. A lot of people in their sports are done at this age. You know, if you look back when I was a bodybuilder back in the day, once bodybuilders were getting to 30s and stuff like that, you weren't seeing them in the gym anymore, because obviously what happens around that lifespan, they've now got kids, they've now got a family, they've got lesser time to train. It's harder because they're probably not doing the right protocols of nutrition and sleeping, so they're feeling it a lot more now. So then eventually they start to fall out of their, their sport or their activities, and then just do normal life But, you know, you can keep that balance in as long as you're balancing everything else back out.
Even doing it in a professional format, you see a lot of, like, a lot of, but even now, looking at the basketball, it's like LeBron's, what, 36 now? And everyone's like, wow, for his sport, he's old for his sport. But then he's looked after himself throughout the whole
career. He's looked after himself, but I think if there's one guy to look at the moment, I think is unbelievable, it's got to be Tom Brady.
Yeah, but then he's like one person out of thousands. It's his profession, right?
Yeah, but not in that. You got to look. He's in a sport where it's a very short
lifespan.
He's got how many Super Bowls? Is it seven? Guy's amazing.
But it's his professional capacity. Like, you can only achieve that if you do it in a... He's probably dedicated every day of his life for the last 20 years towards that goal.
Yeah, and then you've got to look at people like Michael Jordan. If you watch that documentary, that just shows the dedication.
It's the sacrifices.
The sacrifices, you know.
I guess you made loads of them in your bodybuilding and MMA days.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, 100%. And I love that discipline. I love that routine every day, getting up. And sometimes I miss that. And I think, again, you know, this is what happens with a lot of people in sport, especially in boxing and stuff like that. When you see that, we know a lot of boxers and fighters suffer with mental illness after. There's links to, obviously, them getting hit in the head. But I think the main thing is, once you stop your sport and you've got nothing now to work towards, that's a massive, you know, pullback on some people. And that can have a massive mental effect.
Yeah.
If you've been getting up, you do your run, you're following your food, you're going into a training camp, it's exciting, it's routine, it's like you build towards that. And then once that's stopped, if you've got nothing there to keep you going, it could be a massive state of depression.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just building through these podcasts as we go along. We're going to be diving into much more of this, talking about the sleeping, nutrition, going through training programs, why we do strength training, why we do fitness and building. And then, like I say, the love I've found at the moment to re-spark my training was gymnastics.
Mm. You
know, learning how to...
You've taken that, like... You've done the bodybuilding, you've done the muscle building, you've done the fighting, but now it's just completely different to everything you've done.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've peaked through my weightlifting days, you know, so the numbers
you can get back up to the squat numbers.
The numbers that I've pulled back in the day, you know, I'm not going to do that now realistically without a little bit of help, which is another conversation I'm happily to open and talk about.
That's a real can of worms,
and I'll never deny that. Yep, I've been a bodybuilder. I've used performance drugs. I'm open to talk about that. Why I done it, what's good about it, what's bad about it. But for me now, it really is just about that balance and finding gymnastics. It's taught me more about my body and what my body needs, but it's also a great thing for me in longevity as well. And it's not as demanding as trying to obviously pull your heaviest deadlift or your biggest squat. And it's challenging. It keeps me going. I like challenges. I like things that I find hard to do, because that's how my whole training life's been. From when I was a fat kid and I got shown how to run around the block, it was hard.
Mm.
It challenged me. I loved it. I continued everything I've done. If I couldn't do that, or I see this guy doing that, I've always wanted to do it. And I suppose that's just gone on, and that's how I got into CrossFit. I see these guys doing that, I wanted to do that, and then I get tracked off this, I want to do this, I want to do it all. I love it, but that's the sports industry.
I think that's the key thing. As much as we're going to talk about lifestyle elements on this, because we do believe they're key, like, we got into this because we just love training, we love moving, and
we love training.
That's going to be a foundation throughout, and ways to make it as exciting as possible and create best progression.
And then you can see as well from obviously more from where I've come from training, it was just getting in your gym and training, where now we've got podcasts, we've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, and the evolution of now people coming in, and the norm now to see someone training is with their camera set up and doing, you know, taking 2 hours because they're videoing. And this is the norm now as well, and this is how we can reach out and go, right, okay, so we can give you more information. Because I remember, God, when I was first bodybuilding, and you go up to the big bodybuilders and you'd ask them questions, it was like trying to get blood out of a stone.
It's the scariest 5 meters in your life.
I'm telling you, it was just like so hard to get the good information. I'll never forget, I can't remember this bodybuilder's name, but he was a jack guy. And I remember asking him, like, oh, what do you eat? And he goes, yeah, I eat a tub of ice cream every night.
So you took that up with the Ben and Jerry's for like years.
So you go home and you start eating ice cream, and then you realise something's not right here. And it's because they just weren't going to tell you. It was a very secretive sport back then, where now it's like, wow, there's so many.
Information's everywhere.
It's endless. And it's like, you really got to research it and find what is going to work for you and stick with it and give it an outcome. Don't just do it for 2 weeks and then change it because you feel like you're not getting anywhere. It could take you 12 weeks. It could take you 18. It could take you half a year before you see something. Yeah, it's just getting in there. And that's, like I said, we're very, you know, love what we do and we want to get more words out. And hopefully people will look, you know, listen to this and feel like, yeah, I can connect with that. I can relate to that. It's all about relation. It's not about throwing stats and things at you that blow your mind. It's like, let's all get on the same path and be like, yeah.
Most of our experiences have come from trial and error, basically. I think that's the whole fitness industry in a nutshell. It's all, been trial and error since day one.
It's all trial and error. So,
no, it's, yeah. Next, I guess, wrap it up.
I think we'll wrap that one up today because I could go on forever about
it's
me.
That C4 you fucking had before the podcast.
But it's not about me, even though I've got some good stories to tell, which will unravel. Today was just about an introduction, why we're doing it, why we love, what we can give you. Hopefully you're tuning for more. We're going to move into the next episode where we're going to talk more about, I think we should tap straight into the lifestyle, like the burning out, how to identify what burning out means.
Manage work rest.
Now
we are currently in lockdown. I think it's very appropriate because we are unfortunately afforded the opportunity to train 7 days a week. But even in lockdown, like, that's
overdo it. Yeah, you've got more time to train, so you're finding you're training maybe three times a day where you normally wouldn't be doing that.
And then with the mental kind of fatigue as well, with everything going on. Yeah, I think that will be next episode where we can delve into a little bit of that and where our experiences have been and how we've navigated out of it and still have those bumps in the road.
Still fall in it. Oh, you know, January I burnt myself out. You know, simple thing. December comes, you eat shit, you drink, you try and counteract that with training and flatten out. So yeah, I think we'll wrap that up now because I could go on for hours and probably people turn off to be like this too long. But there's our first introduction. Hope you've enjoyed it with me and Ben. We'll get on to the next one.
Thank you.
See you on the